Sara, November 9th. Let's do our prayer. Akandam Satchidanandam Avang Manasagocharam Atmanam Akiladharam Ashraye Pishta Siddhaye Arthato Pyadvayanandan Atita Dvaita Panataha Guru Naradhya Vedanta Saram Vakshe Yathamati. 141. Etani. It's on page 83 Etani. In your book. Oh, in. Everybody there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Etani.
Etani.
Satwadi Guna.
Satwadi Guna.
Sahitani.
Sahitani.
Apanchikritani.
Apanchikritani.
Utpatti.
Utpatti.
Vyutkramena.
Vyutkramena.
Etat.
Etat.
Karana Bhuta.
Karana Bhuta.
Agnanopahita.
Agnanopahita.
Chaitanya Matram.
Chaitanya Matram.
Bhavati. Remember, we're still on the section that is dealing with the Adhyaropa Apavada. We're now involved in the Apavada, which means bringing the Adhyaropa, the superimposition, back to the cause, back to Chaitanya. The Adhyaropa is the superimposition. It's mean the creation. The manifestation of the creation goes in a certain order, right? The dissolution of the creation is going to be pulling that order, going backwards. Backwards to Ajnanam and then to Chaitanya. Okay, so that's what we've been involved with in these verses right now, because we're on the Apavada, which means the negation of the superimposition. First you have to make clear what is superimposed and the order, you know, from the Hiranyagarbha, from the Ishwara to Hiranyagarbha, to the Stula Sharira, from the Sukshma Sharira, the causal body, to the Virat, to the physical body, and then now we're going backwards. So, and this is where we are in that reversal. So, I'm going to break the sandhi. Etani sattva adi guna sahitani apanchikritani, so apanchikritani utpati vyutkramena etat karana bhuta ajnana upahita chaitanya matram bhavati. What do you see? So this says, etani means these. It's going to be in the nominative plural, these. What are the these? The sattvadi guna. Okay. Sattva adi, sattva, etc. Beginning with sattva. If I say that, beginning with sattva, then you include the group. Beginning with sattva means sattva, rajas, and tamas. Right? Like if I say, sometimes they say chakshuradi, beginning with the eyes, then that's going to include the five sense organs. So they will choose a member of a set, and they'll say beginning with that member, and then in your mind you have to add the rest. So we know sattva, rajas, tamas is one set, so sattva adi, beginning with sattva, means beginning with sattva, rajas, and tamas. What? The gunas. The gunas beginning with sattva. So the gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas, so those three gunas. Sahitani. When sahitani is at the end, or sahita, here it's in the nominative plural. When sahita is at the end of a compound, it means together with. Just like saha, right? Remember we had sa at the beginning? The word is actually saha when it stands by itself. It means together with, and that whatever it's with is going to go into the instrumental. You can have a compound with a form of saha, starting the compound with sa, or it can end the compound with sahita. So here, if you say sattvadi guna sahitani, together with the three gunas, the gunas beginning with sattva. So etani, these, sattvadi, sattva adi, guna sahitani, apanchikritani. Apanchikritani are these bhutas, the mahabhutas, the elements which have not gone through panchikrita. The elements that have gone through panchikrita form the stula, virat, the stula sharira. the elements that have not gone through the unnegate, so if we have Panchikrita, they have been made fivefold, Panchikrita. A Panchikrita means they have not, the unnegates. So the five elements, space, air, fire, water, earth, that have not gone through that fivefold modification. So they're still subtle, is the idea.
So they're subtle, but in the combinations with each other?
I mean, they're not even talking about that right now. If we read backwards, it says, these etani, which have not gone through Panchikrita, together with the three gunas, together with the gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. You see? Mm-hmm. So, etani, sattvadi, guna, sahitani, apanchikritani. Now, next word. Utpati, vyutkramena. Now, when you say krama or kramena, it means in consecutive order. Krama means a consecutive order. This happens, and this happens, and this happens, and this happens. That's krama. So kramena means in consecutive order. Vyut kramena means the opposite of in the opposite order. So krama is positive. It's going this, that. Vyut krama is going backwards in the opposite consecutive order. Okay. Vikrama would mean the same.
Okay.
This is Vyutkrama. Okay. So Vyutkramena, Swamiji may have said in his commentary Vikrama, just to give a synonym for Vyutkrama. So Vyutkramena in the opposite order, in the opposite consecutive order. Because when we were doing the Adhyaropa, we went in a particular order. First this happens, then this, then this, then this. Now we're withdrawing. So in the opposite order, Vyutkramena. Etat karana bhuta ajnana upahita chaitanya matram bhavati. Let's read that backwards. Well, read it first, forward first. Etat karana bhuta, being the karana, the cause of these. This is a whole compound. Etat goes back to the etani. These means these elements which have not, these five elements which have not gone through Panchikrita together with the three gunas. So, the Buddha being the karana of these five elements.
Help.
What?
Why would they say the three gunas and the subtle elements? I mean, Maya is the three gunas.
Let's read to the end.
Okay.
And then I'll explain that.
Okay.
It's a good question, but it'll become clear. Etat karana bhuta ajnanam. Ignorance, so now read again, backwards. Ignorance, which is the cause, that karana bhuta being the cause, right? Which has for its nature. So in translation, you just say, ignorance, which is the cause of them. Etat karana bhuta ajnana. Now what? Upahita chaitanya. Chaitanya is consciousness. When we say upahita chaitanya, we use this in many, many ways. It can be like the sameshti upadi upahita chaitanya, the vyeshti upadi upahita chaitanya. Here the ajnana upahita chaitanya. Are you going to translate that? Is consciousness which is conditioned by. Whenever you see upahita chaitanya, it's consciousness conditioned by. So here, consciousness, chaitanya, conditioned by ignorance, which is the cause of these, which is causal to these. Okay? Matram just means merely, only, solely. So, when we look at consciousness as conditioned by ajnanam, okay? Consciousness conditioned by ajnanam, ajnanam is in unmanifest condition, we're just talking about in terms of the maya upadi, when the creation in unmanifest condition is consciousness plus maya, or consciousness plus ajnanam, okay? that ajnanam is causal to sattva, rajas, and tamas, all of their activities, right? The sattva, rajas, and tamas, when it comes into manifestation, along with the five subtle elements, along with sattva, rajas, and tamas aspects, which are now in manifestation. Now, Penny's right. When you say maya, maya is sattva, rajas, and tamas. There's no other maya. It is these three strands, sattva, rajas, and tamas, make up maya. But in the causal condition, they are all an unmanifest condition. So when the creation comes into manifestation, what you have are the five subtle elements first, right? So you've got Brahman plus the Maya Upadhi, an unmanifest condition, which we can call Maya or Ajnanam, okay? Or Prajna in the Mandukya Upanishad. So we have awareness plus that Ajnanam or Maya, which then goes through a process of manifestation. When the Ajnanam or the Maya manifests, what happens first is that we regain the five Mahabhutas, the five elements, space, air, fire, water, earth, which have not gone through the process of Panchikarana. Now, when that five elements manifest, each element has a sattva, rajas, and tamas component, okay? So what manifests is not just the five elements, but the five elements with the sattva, rajas, and tamas component. Of those, the sattva and rajas component of the five elements remain subtle. It's the tamas aspect that goes through Panchikarana. So that being so, look at what they say here. Etani, these, sattvadi guna sahitani, apanchikritani, okay, means those five, the apanchikritas are the things, the five elements that have not gone through Panchikarana, together with the sattva, rajas, and tamas, because each element has a sattva, rajas, and tamas component.
I see.
Of those components, sattva, rajas are always subtle, they're always sukshma. It's the tamas aspect that goes through the process of Panchikarana to become the physical world. And so, here he says, we're going backwards. So he says, vyutkramena, in the reverse order, to the creation, because the creation is the adhyaropa. When we go in the positive order, we're talking about the adhyaropa, what is actually superimposed. When we go in the reverse order of the creation, which is going forward, we're pulling the creation back. So as we pull it back, we're now at the five subtle elements together with the sattva, rajas, and tamas, which is the component of each of those elements. We're pulling it back to what is causal to them. So what is causal to them is merely matram, only the consciousness, chaitanya, which is upahita, conditioned by the ajnanam, ignorance, which is the cause, which is their cause. The cause of the manifestation of the five subtle elements. So by cause means the five subtle elements along with the sattva, rajas, and tamas resolve into ajnanam. That's their material cause. It's what we call the parinama upadana karanam. Maya or ajnanam is the parinama upadana karanam. Upadana karanam means material cause. There are two types of material cause. The parinama upadana karanam is the material cause, ajnanam or maya. It means that which goes through modification to become the creation. It goes through a process of change. That's parinama. Parinama means modification. So the material cause which modifies to become something else. Milk modifies to become curd, for instance. The ajnanam, the ajnana upadhi, the maya upadhi modifies to become the Hiranyagarbha in Virat, right? It modifies to become that. So we say that maya is the parinama upadana karana. The upadana karana, the material cause which goes through a process of parinama, modification. Brahman is the vivarta upadana karana, the material cause which does not go through any modification to become the effect. So what that would mean is that in this creation of continual modification of change and change, the ajnanam, consciousness conditioned by ajnanam, means the maya, is responsible for that. But the self of this creation, in the end, what is the actual material cause, Brahman, is vivarta upadana karanam. It goes through no change at all. So in your experience of the creation, whether it be the experience of your own mind, your emotions, the ahankara, the memory, or any perceptual, internal or external perception, what is constant there is the sat-chit. Conscious being does not modify. This imagination is, this emotion is, and it is known. That never changes. But the nama-rupa continually modifies. The nama-rupa, the name form, which modifies, has for its cause maya. That's the maya upadi, right? Or ajnanam. Maya or ajnanam is used synonymously here. So here it says, what is the etani sattvadi gunasahitani apanchi kritani utpati. There's the utpati means the vyutkramena, by the reverse order of the utpati of the creation. Utpati vyutkramena. Utpati is creation. Vyutkramena. So utpati vyutkramena, by the reverse order of the utpati of the creation. Etat kalana bhuta ajnana upahita chaitanya matram. This is, has for its cause merely chaitanya conditioned by ajnanam. Chaitanya conditioned, consciousness conditioned, upahita, by ajnanam, is the kalana, is their cause.
To get in this panchikrita model, they say initially there's only sattva-rajas, tamas, and then the five mahabhutas are there initially, right? Space, air, fire, water, earth. But if they're all composed of these elements, what makes space and air, what makes the five different from each other?
Oh, it goes like this. The sattva aspect would be the five sense organs, and together, the sattva component of the five elements together would be the antakarna. So the sattva aspect of each element, like for instance space would be ears, eyes is rupa, right? Like the eyes is agni.
No, maybe not. So space, air, fire, water, earth is, forgetting about people, but what would make them distinct from each other if they're all composed of sattva, rajas, tamas elements?
It's that each element, like space, has these three aspects. A sattva aspect, a rajas aspect, and a tamas aspect.
But do they have different concentrations? Like what makes space different from earth, fire, water?
Oh, because they're different elements. The universe manifests as the five elements. The Maya manifests as these five elements. When it comes into manifestation, what is it? The five subtle elements. But those five subtle elements, when Maya manifests, each element has three aspects. One is a sattva aspect, one is a rajas aspect, one is a tamas aspect. And so what it means is that the whole entire creation, in terms on subtle and physical level, can be divided into the five elements and the elementals. But in order to do that, to account for everything, you have to have the sattva aspect, the rajas aspect, and the tamas aspect, because that is another broad division of our experience.
But the aspects are not the material. It's not what constitutes the element. It's an aspect. Like what does subtle space mean? Or what does...
It would be, just very simply, like right now, if I ask you to have an imagination of a meadow or the ocean or whatever, that imagination will be comprised of the five elements. There's not a sixth element. It'll be the five elements and the elementals. Those would combination of, like mud is a combination of water and earth, for instance. So any imagination, that would be subtle. Any loka, different lokas are in a subtle realm, right? Those are how Maya manifests in the form of the five elements. But there's if we want to analyze this world, so you have the five elements, which make up all of the nama rupas, whether on a subtle or physical level. But then we have three other things that are pervasive to the creation, subtle or gross. Those are knower-known relationship. So the conscious aspect, like the five sense organs and the mind, versus, and then that's one. So the consciousness that's enjoyed in terms of subject-object. Another thing that all levels of creation enjoy is rajas, activity, energy. That's rajas, change. And so whether it's on a subtle level, mental level, or different subtle planes, that rajas is there. And the rajas in terms of the sukshma sharir of the jiva would be the karmendriyas, the organs of action, and the prana, the vital force, all of the elements of the vital force. That's the rajas. Then the tamas is all the namarupa, what is gross. You know, so the subtle pervades the gross. So this gross is virat and vishwa. Vishwa is the gross jiva, the physical body, the stula sharira. That's from the panchikrita mahabhutas, the five elements that have gone through panchikrita, fivefold. The subtle aspect of all of the elements is responsible for knowledge, for knownness. The rajas aspect of all of the elements is responsible for energy, activity, change. Make sense?
And then the elements which have become grossified. So do it back up, because I think it's so cool, like how fire resolves into, you know, the lower elements resolve.
That's a little bit different, but I'll do it. But sometimes I get confused, but we have a reason. There's an order: space, air, fire, water, earth. This is an order because it's an order of subtlety. If you start with the most gross, the earth, okay, space, air, fire, water, earth, the earth can be perceived by all five sense organs. You can see it, you can hear it, you can smell it, you can taste it, right? All five, or you can touch it. But if you go up one, water is 1 degree more subtler than the earth, because it can only be experienced by four. You can't smell water. Water without earth in it has no scent, but you can taste it, you can see it, you can touch it, you can hear it rippling, for instance. One more degree you go up to air, to fire, you can't taste or smell fire, but you can see fire, you can touch fire, you can hear fire crackle, right? So it's 1 degree more subtle. You go up one more degree to vayu, wind. You can't see wind, right? You can't taste wind. You can't touch, you can't taste wind, you can't smell wind. That's all earth. But vayu you can feel, right? You can feel and you can hear. You can hear the wind blow. Then you go up to shabda, you go up to sound, and they say they give the only one of the gunas or qualities they give to space is sound, because sound travels through space. But you can't feel space, you can't see space, you can't you can't taste space, and you can't smell space. So it is the most subtle. And the only way that you can have an idea of space is because sound travels through space. So they give sound as a guna for space. Does that make sense, Penny? That's what it is.
Yeah, I just like to hear.
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah, that kind of order is mathematical.
But it's only earthbound. I mean, that kind of order is supposed to, you know, it's because we on Earth are like this.
Yes.
But it doesn't address. It's always been kind of this. I can't understand in what context to take this.
I think I can explain that. It's like a paradigm, a way of dividing up thoroughly your experience, which includes the totality of your experience in terms of subject-object, known and known, also in terms of motion and activity, energy, and in terms of nama-rupa, name and form. And it includes both subtle experience and physical experience. And so if we want to create a paradigm in which the subject, not Brahman, I don't mean that subject, But the knower known is included, and everything, rather than just what I perceive through my sense organs. Usually when we're analyzing the world, we're talking about what we're experiencing through sense perception. But this model ends up putting the entire jiva and the whole Vedic paradigm, where the jiva actually is transmigrating and taking body after body after body. So this particular paradigm includes the physical world that we experience, the subtle worlds that we experience, all of it can be included into this paradigm, and the transmigrating jiva is also included in this paradigm. And so when we're doing the teaching methodologies, this is just actually, we use this paradigm for a teaching methodology to help you resolve the jiva upadhi, body, mind, sense organs, into Ishwara. Because like all of the five elements that have gone through Panchikrita, this physical body is included in that, you know? The subtle body includes the mind and the sense organs. The rajas includes your own prana. So you start to understand that this the jiva upadhi, is part of the Ishwara upadhi, and that the subject object belong to the creation. So it's just a way of breaking it down. Like we could take this creation, the totality of our experience in the creation, and depending upon what we want trying to accomplish, you can make innumerable models, you know, categorizations. This is a type of categorization where you can put from within a Vedantic paradigm the totality of your experience, and the purpose of it is to help you differentiate Brahman from the upadhis, the what we call the samashti upadhi and the vyashti upadhi, the total upadhi, the total maya upadhi, and the individual upadhi. So that's what it's used for.
But it seems like the model is very earth and human being centric, and what the model is trying to explain is much beyond that. The model is trying to explain how it is that the universe came to be from, you know, an unresolved, from a resolved to, you know, unresolved.
Yes, in very broad strokes, right? In very broad strokes. Mm-hmm. Like, I suppose you could make a model on an atomic theory. On many different, you know, using physics, you could make some sort of a model. Mm-hmm. But they're all models. Like, even the atom is a model, mm-hmm. you know. The atom doesn't really look like that, mm-hmm. right? It's a model. Mm-hmm. But it's a model to accomplish something, to help you conceptualize something. So this particular model is to help you conceptualize really the place of the jiva within the creation, to see that everything that you identify with as yourself is really a manifestation of the maya upadhi. It's not Brahman.
Kind of gives you a map for out of the box.
It's a map. It's a map to
so you
place
go in and out, and, you know, viewpoint wise.
It's a map to in which to place all your experience. But there are many maps.
Yeah, this is helpful for me because I've been reacting to this as like my mind is saying, well, this is another interesting creation made out of a particular culture in a particular time.
Well,
and
it's
anthropologically interesting,
yeah.
But what's the point? And so this is the usefulness of
yeah.
it. At the same time, it still seems like it's there are elements of it that we're never going to be able to prove or know that they're
And you
true.
Don't really need to,
yeah.
because
okay.
it's in broad strokes, and it's not that what it's saying isn't true in this sense.
Or is true.
That it's not about being...
No, we don't
no,
have
but,
a way
but it's
to
not even about that. It's about taking the experience of the creation that we have. In broad strokes, you can definitely divide your experience of the creation into space, air, fire, water, earth.
Yes.
Right? That can be done. You can,
well, where
in broad
I get lost
strokes.
Is the Panchikarana, Panchikrita, and all this stuff that supposedly happened to manifest. I don't have a hook in my experience on which to hang that.
That's right. Then you have to kind of understand what they're saying. What is the difference between a subtle element and a physical element? So you can appreciate how they're doing it, that's all.
Right, I think we should, what's important for me is to realize that this is being done, you know, the totality of our experience changes over time. A couple of centuries ago, you know, the totality of our experiences was different. Now the totality of our experience is different, given, you know, whatever progress we've made and whatever we know of the universe now is different from how it was 100 or 200 years ago. And so to place this in the context of that culture and that time, to say, yes, it, from what they knew then, this was the model. And so to sort of say, yes, you know, like what you explained, which is to say that's a model for understanding, it's as opposed to taking it to sort of...
You have to look at it as, yeah, it's not going into atomic theory and maybe the or into physics in the way that a Westerner of this era, say the Vedanta was of this era, it might use a different language and different paradigm to explain.
Yes.
But this is the paradigm that's being used because this paradigm is all-encompassing and descriptive. It's all-encompassing in broad strokes.
But also, isn't it like the paradigm, the model has a different purpose. This model has a different purpose than, let's say, the Western scientific model, which purpose is to understand gross reality so that we can control it and have power over it, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas the purpose of this model is to actually understand one's actual experience of being a conscious being and what that actually is.
So it's nice to know the context, though, right?
Yeah, right.
You have to know the context.
Yes.
You have to know that, like, if you think, though, this is the new science, are you saying that this is...
No.
That's not at all what's being said.
Yeah,
there
are parallels,
buy into this necessarily.
It's not even about
buying into it. It's about understanding it in order to differentiate Maya from Brahman. To be able to have a vision of this Jiva Upadhi as being part and parcel of the Ishwara Upadhi. And to be able to account for subject-object differentiation. Like for instance, when you have a dream and you're a character in the dream, that dream character can move about. The dream creation is moving, it's active, it's, you know, not static. Sun is rising and setting, there's change going on. And there's also a jiva, upadhi, in that dream that has a mind and sense organs and perceiving. So you're actually perceiving and acting identified with the with the being in the dream, right? And so that means the knower known and the what we call the knower known, and also the kartritvam, the doership, and also the enjoyership. All of these things, doership, enjoyership, and knowership, all of those are dependent upon the upadhi. And here in the dream, they're dependent upon the sense organs and the mind and the organs of action, you know, the prana, allow for that seer seen differentiation, enjoyer enjoyed, doer done, all of this. They exist within Maya. They are not attributes of the self. They're attributes of the Maya Upadhi in the dream. Similarly, your knowership, your doership, your enjoyership are due to attributes of the Jiva Upadhi, the Maya Upadhi in the waking state. They are not attributes of Brahman, of the self. Your self is changeless. Your self is not a knower. You require a mind and sense organs for knowership. The mind and sense organs belong to Maya, right?
And when all of the Maya is withdrawn, there's no new body there, so it's unmanifest. It's in a potential state, but is that non-existent, or is it existent along with Maya?
It has to be existent, Edward, because it comes back.
Yeah.
When you go to deep sleep, you don't go into non-existence because you come back. So you go into avyakta, unmanifest condition. You can't say it becomes non-existent or it couldn't return.
So what is that like with the Brahman and the non-existent, the unmanifest mind?
From the standpoint of Brahman, or when the whole creation goes into unmanifest, nothing ever happens to Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
But the Maya in unmanifest condition, from the standpoint of Ishwara, would be like nirvikalpa samadhi, where the mind is... the creation is just totally unmanifest, but there's no ajnanam there, just like a nirvikalpa samadhi. Whereas when the jiva goes into unmanifest condition, there's total ajnanam there, so when you come out of that, you have the same ajnanam that you had when you went in. I think it's 12 o'clock, so I think we should stop. Say our prayer. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.